I'd like to, if you have your Bibles, would like to turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4. Let me get a verse or two down around, I guess verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, even though that 11th verse, that begins a new sentence, and it's a complete sentence there, but when he begins, not that I speak in respect of want. So he's continuing a thought here, but the point is whatsoever state I am, in whatever so whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I want to talk about contentment and also being satisfied in a different way than I have before. To be content is having a mind at peace, not disturbed, and whatever situation, to be enough and to suffice, be sufficient, to be content. And so he's saying here, and as I read these words in this particular book and chapter of the Apostle Paul, I thought about his life and what we've heard and read of what took place in his life. And then to read those words that he doesn't speak in respect of want, but he has learned in whatsoever state that he is therewith to be content. That says a lot, remembering what all has taken place in his life, the Apostle Paul. And of course, we put ourselves, and that we're this is to us. It's the inspired word of God to us as well. And he knows both how to be abased, and he knows how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, he's instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, and all those things. Now, though, if we back up just a couple of verses, in the 8th verse, he lists some things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And then he ends up down there in that 11th, 12th, 13th verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. One of my greatest battles in life has been to try to be content. And I'll get more into this, the satisfaction as well. But to be content. And to try to have that peace, that my mind at peace, and not being anxious and fearful and worried and concerned. It's a constant battle, as Brother Jeff prayed about the evil in the world and those things going on and the evildoers in the world around us, that it makes that even more difficult. But the 8th verse certainly gives us more than a hint on how to do that in these things here in this list. And the God of peace shall be with you. And we'll see even more so and more strongly the only way that we can have peace in our lives is through God. Yeah. It's through God and Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And still, I'd look for things and grab hold of things to try to give me a moment's peace in our lives. But that's, we don't stop living our lives and doing things and going to functions and having fellowship and so forth. I need to concentrate hanging on to or gaining this peace through Christ, through God. We can have that within those things, and should. Also, like you said, Brother Jeff, that we not just leave this place and just forget everything, that we use what we might learn today to carry on next week. Next week we'll need it. more so maybe than others. But I have peace even. God's given me peace in that. And I'm thankful for that. Not that I deserve to live in this nation of liberty, but I've been given that, and I'm thankful to God for that. And there's a people that is continue to be thankful for that. That's why God continues to bless a remnant in this country. So having a mind at peace and through I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Even doing that, even being content, is through Christ which strengtheneth me. I've got to have His strength and guidance in that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, Apostle Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." And again, not being able to deny my personality or my humanity, when I see a sentence end with something that is great gain, I want to know how do I get that? How do I gain that in my life? Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's something, and we'll see, Lord willing, we'll see other verses later that talk about monetary riches and the difficulty in having this contentment even in those. Godliness with contentment, that's great gain. That's a gain that you have in this life. But it has godliness with that. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." So whatever we stockpile here, and whatever we might leave our children monetarily or materially as our natural life may end, that we'll leave this world with the same thing we brought into it, which was nothing. But we have this godliness while we're here. And then he goes on in the 8th verse, says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." I believe there he simplifies it. He brings it down to the simple things, food and raiment. Let us be content with just that. But then immediately I think of what all else in abundance that I have in my life, aside from food and raiment, food and clothing. We have so much more. But having food and raiment, let us therewith be content in that. It tells us the simplicity of this contentment. Now in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the 15th chapter, Mark chapter 15, Mark 15, and this is a little bit different here, but it's still using the word content, but as a verb. There's an action here, and I want to use this as an example, then jump over to the Old Testament for a few minutes. 15th verse of this 15th chapter, and we all were aware of this scene here. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, willing to content the people, to satiate them or satisfy them, put them at peace, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Certainly know that moment, that they wanted this criminal let loose and they wanted Jesus crucified. And so Pilate, in trying to content the people, and I guess it's, I don't know what would have happened had he not done that, had he gone the other route and released Jesus and kept and crucified Barabbas, but there probably would have been rioting there of the Jews. And because and he's trying to keep peace there as well as he's between Caesar and the Jewish people and the high priesthood there. And so to content them. But in that, the reason I wanted to go there is that again, personally, in my life, the things with which I try to content myself are not always the things that do it. And I fail, and then I try again. Remember, and we'll see even more strongly that it's godliness. It is God and Jesus Christ that causes us not only to be content, but to also be satisfied in this life. But so I fail in trying to content myself, and he failed there. Because certainly we know that Jesus Jesus came to save us from our sins, as a song we sang this morning, and that he was going to the cross to die for our sins, to save his people, and he did just that. So he was going, and I could and have speculated and thought about different scenarios from this point forward of different ways. But he was going to save his people from their sins, and he did that. The Jews were not satisfied. They were not content from then on. And then they had to make up lies to say, well, why was his body no longer in the tomb? Even though he told them it would not be, that he would rise, he would raise it. So they weren't content, truly. I'm not content, truly, unless God, through the power in which he can strengthen me and I can do anything, then I am content and satisfied in God Almighty in my life. And this is certainly the place to do that in the kingdom, in the church that Jesus Christ set up for that purpose, to honor and worship and glorify his name. So we may think we're content in something, in some situation or scenario, and we're truly not. And soon I learn it and see it. Now in Psalm, I believe it's Psalm 22. 22nd Psalm. So 22nd Psalm, 26th verse. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. In this psalm here, in the next psalm that I'll go to, I believe, he contrasts this here, this satisfaction. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. But then he says, they shall praise the Lord that seek him. So there will be several places here that we'll go to that shows us that seeking the Lord is where we not only and you still, I have to confess, and I've heard some to this extent, that, and I always thought of contentment as, well, I need to just be content, just accept what I've got. And the Apostle Paul kind of he kind of implies that or intimates that, but almost like a step down from satisfaction. Now, if you go dig into all the definitions, the Greek, the Hebrew of the words content and satisfied, they all overlap. If I end up at the verse that probably we're all on our minds right now, then so be it. But to be truly satisfied, that I thought I can't be satisfied completely 100% in this life, but we can at times through God seeking Him have that satisfaction, which is strong contentment. With it, because believe me, it is enough at that point to be enough, to have enough in being content. It's to suffice. As we get into this satisfaction here, we'll see that and contentment is so similar. In Psalm 63, I believe, Psalm 63... Again, David writes in the fifth verse of that 63rd Psalm, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Immediately, we see what he's doing here in being satisfied. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." What's funny is that word marrow, if you look in the Hebrew of that, it means fatness and fatness. But it also means abundance and fatness there, that he gives us so much that my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate upon thee in the night watches. I have had my worst bouts of anxiety in the early morning hours. Wake up and you can't turn your mind off. Sometimes when I'm trying to go to sleep and become anxious, and I'm not content at that point. I am not satisfied at that point. Most of the time when that happens to me, that I'm not seeking God. I'm dwelling upon the things that are out there that so many of which have not even happened and probably will not happen. We can remember, and through God, all things are possible through Him that strengtheneth me, even at that moment, at the night watch, in the anxiety and the stress and the worry and concern that may disturb that peace that we have in true contentment, then He'll cause us to seek Him at that point. He did King David. He caused Him to do that. Make within me a clean heart, and dwell upon that list in that eighth verse over there that I began with in Philippians. There are those good things there to concentrate on that. But yet I know as I'm saying these, I'm going to worry again. I'm going to become anxious again about something. Yet time and time again, it's proven to us that God relieves us of that. He causes us to be satisfied again. When a minister is ordained, typically and it's a good part of the ordination of a minister to preach the gospel, the person interrogating or maybe delivering the charge, they ask that subject being ordained, are you satisfied with the church as it stands today, as Jesus Christ set it up? They're listening for the answer, believe me. And then they'll go on to say, if you become dissatisfied with the church, will you agree to walk away from the church and not stir up strife and disturbances in the church. And again, it should be an answer in the affirmative. Preachers have got twisted around where, well, no, I think this is right, so I'm not leaving like I said I would because I'm still right and so forth. You can get into all that. But I am satisfied with the church that Jesus Christ set up. He is righteous. He is and will always be righteous. He set up the church perfectly. Yes, I'm satisfied with it. Now, today, am I satisfied with the condition of what's going on in the church as far as this virus and so forth, and more so the world? It's hard. It's very hard. But yet, He strengthens us where we can do anything. We can have satisfaction. We have, I believe, in our services that, because believe me, if you don't realize, there are churches many of them have not been able to come back. We have some, I know, but we've had sustained attendance here in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, and I believe that He has given all of us the peace, that satisfaction and contentment in the church of which we need. Maybe I need to be reminded what the church should mean to me in my life, and the appreciation I should have for her, the bride of Christ, and being a part of the bride of Christ, that I would have the satisfaction here, knowing that one day we'll have perfect satisfaction. So he causes us to leave this anxiety and the stress there, whenever that may happen. Now, in Proverbs, the 12th chapter of Proverbs, as I head back toward the New Testament here, Proverbs chapter 12, again, this ties in God in any satisfaction that we may have. The 14th verse says, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him." So a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. That's a godly fruit. That's fruit of the Spirit. A man shall be satisfied. So if anyone says that 100% you can never be satisfied in this life, there are several proof texts against that. We can be and are blessed to be satisfied and content here. And so, but then he says, and the recompense or reward, that just means the reward. Again, I see a word, and think, oh, I want to know what the reward is for whatever he's talking about here. But it says, the recompense or reward of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him, shall be reckoned unto him. The work that we do, this is not talking about some sinful work in our lives, but the godliness and the godly work that we may do, the work that we do with our hands and in honoring Him, that reward, recompense shall be rendered unto us in this satisfied state here in Proverbs 19. In Proverbs 19th chapter, the 23rd verse, Proverbs 19, "The fear of the Lord tendereth to life, tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." So the fear of the Lord, the honor, respect that the Lord deserves from us, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. So that direction. "And he that hath it shall abide satisfied." We will live satisfied fear, honor, and of God Almighty. He shall not be visited with evil. This does not mean, recently it seemed like we had the word where the Lord brought evil upon the Hebrew people. That's calamity, is what that's talking about, is calamity. Now it says, he shall not be visited with calamity or evil. We have sufferings and calamities in our lives. We have some right now. I believe that we have been blessed to be risen above that, in that we are abiding, satisfied, and yet it's not constant. I think of material wealth, being rich beyond your wildest dreams and so forth. We still have calamities and troubles and so forth, no matter how much it was. But we're reminded when we put ourselves in the place of the Apostle Paul and what he went through, abased the sufferings, and yet he was still content. This is in honoring God. It's all tied. Any satisfaction is going to be tied not to a material thing, but to God Almighty and to Jesus Christ. Now, Jeremiah 31, 31st chapter. Then I'll jump back over to the New Testament and try to roll this up. The 25th verse says, "For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, So I have satiated the weary soul. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me." Again, the satisfaction that is in God Almighty, in Jesus Christ, if this sleep that was sweet to him here, that he was blessed to be satisfied at that moment in his life, relieved of all the anxiety, the concerns, and stress. And certainly Jeremiah, in the writings of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and Lamentations, and he's called the crying preacher. Preacher is what he's called, and the sadness that he had upon him, though, but he still had some of this being satiated or satisfied, having enough, having plenty here. I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Let me jump over there and get back to the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians, I believe the third chapter. Yeah, third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Let me just grab, starting with the fourth verse there in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, fourth verse. "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward." Such trust have we through Christ to Godward. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." To be sufficed, content, satisfied, and this sufficiency here. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves." Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing. And to me, I look at his life, his education, his being blessed by God, certainly to preach the gospel as an apostle unto the Gentiles, and the sufficiency that there's. But he recognized that it was not of him. He says, as of ourselves, "but our sufficiency is of God." In that, he's giving God the honor, and the praise. And so if any of those verses I've read are true, and they are, the Word of God, then his satisfaction in this life was of God, and he is abiding in God and in this satisfaction in his life here. He wouldn't have been able to survive otherwise. And he did long to go to be with Christ Jesus. It is better to be with him, but it was needful for him to stay here. So this begins, as I began reading there in that fourth and fifth verse, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. What trust? Well, above that, he talks about, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. That's the second verse there. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now he explains this, a very important third verse, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, so we're the epistle of Christ, written in our hearts, ministered by us, ministered by the Apostle Paul. You're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Certainly talking about in regeneration, being born again. His law is written in our hearts. Well, he's made a fleshy, a soft heart from a stony heart there. And this trust that we have through Christ to Godward, that is it. That's where we get that. That's where we can, when we become anxious and worried about anything. And this is not just when we grow older and we have more and more responsibilities heaped upon us, or we voluntarily take more responsibilities upon us, families, children, and raising children, and working, holding down a job, finding a new job when you get laid off from another one, whatever, comforting people, all these things, responsibilities. But it also covers when we're younger. I can think back clearly as if it was yesterday, some of the things that I suffered when I was a younger boy, and that much of it brought on myself. But yet, even at that time, I was made to be content and satisfied many times, and somehow made it up until this very moment, God watching over me. Because I believe that even at that point, knowing that I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, that I was already born again, and so I could call upon this perfect, righteous satisfaction and contentment of God Almighty, and he would bless me in that, and he did. And I can remember praying some prayers when I was in high school. There's no way with this specific prayer that this thing is going to work out, this scenario. And then immediately it did. And I knew at that time, that was one of those times where I saw the blessings of God in the answer to that prayer right then. And to that, if nothing else I had done since then proves it, that proves that I am a child of God because he answered the prayer for me at that time. And so as we're growing up, we lean on that true, godly, Christ-like satisfaction and contentment as we serve him. And then we abide in that satisfaction. So then as he continues here, he mentions that we are not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Then he immediately says in the sixth verse, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So in that, and that's where I would become anxious in trying to serve as a minister of the gospel, that we're not sufficient of ourselves in that, but through God. God is our sufficiency. He has to be. And it's by the Spirit, not of ourselves. Now, in John, the Gospel of John, as I may have two other places, tops, and then I'll close. But in the 16th chapter of John, the last verse of that chapter, Jesus Christ says here, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, that undisturbed peace That's what contentment is, the undisturbed peace that we have. That in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome that. This is God we're talking about. This is God talking to us. And so he has the power even still to overcome for us the things that we're experiencing here. That when we lose someone in death, when we're caring for someone who is ill, when we sorrow, when we miss someone, when we are depressed, for whatever reason. So many times that happens, and I need to remember where I need to go to gain that satisfaction one more time in my life, and that's to Jesus Christ and to God Almighty. Now, in Psalm, the 17th Psalm, and I'll close. Psalm 17, around the 5th and 6th verse and on down in this, in his words, David says, in the 7th verse, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. There's a good verse to remember even today. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. Physically, he was worried. He was worried for his life there. They are enclosed in their own fat, in their own sufficiency. They're enclosed in that, these people that he's talking to here. With their mouth, they speak proudly. They don't have a clue. These people that he's referring to here. He's praying that he saves him. In our 13th verse, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. He's talking about these people still. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Now, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's the verse that I always think of, the satisfaction that is in God Almighty. This satisfaction, we have satisfaction in this life. I hope that I've proven that. But the realization and the satisfaction, for lack of better terms, the level or extent of the satisfaction when we awake in His likeness, because we'll have no more sin. But I think of the redemption. Jesus Christ redeemed us, the entire purchased possession, redeemed us, bought us back, body, soul, and spirit. Well, our bodies are still here full of sin. They haven't been changed yet. That's why it's such a struggle to be content and to be satisfied in life. It's a struggle for us because we don't do what He's told us simply to do. But we will realize that, and that redemption has been done. It's completed at Calvary. But one day, when these bodies, when Jesus Christ come again, and we see Him in the clouds, and He calls our name, that redemption will be realized at that point, that is complete. And the satisfaction that we feel now in our godliness, that will be realized in perfection and completeness at that time. That's true satisfaction, when we wake in His likeness. How could we not be satisfied in that? But yet, and here, I'm, I do where I started out in Philippians. Try to be content with whatever situation I'm in, and He's blessed me to do that. But it seems like later in life, life. It doesn't get any easier, it seems, but we think totally differently, I think, after we've had all these experiences. Y'all have had some experiences in your life that tell you you're children of God, and you hang on to those, and you'll continue to have those experiences that satisfy you in a godly way, even in suffering the many things that we suffer in our lives, because then we're shown the great power and righteousness of God and His mercy and grace upon us, and He causes us again to be satisfied. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If you have desire to join, you let us know. And